This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
And rolling on into the final hour of Sports Talk, Jeff Nowak here filling in for Steve Geller. Got Charlie Long running all the knobs I don't really understand behind the glass over there. We're taking you up till 8 p.m. We're going to have a lot of talk about NBA playoffs. We're going to have some more weather updates on the severe storms rolling into Louisiana. But first, we got to get into the NBA playoffs, and no one better to do that with than Will Guillory, NBA and Pelicans writer for The Athletic. You know, Donovan Mitchell is currently out there doing mean things to Pascal Siakam. Maybe trying to prove a point. Will, how have you been enjoying the NBA playoffs to this point?
Man, I've been enjoying it. I'm glad y'all didn't call me like 5 minutes ago because I was just screaming at the TV after what Donovan Mitchell just did against Pascal Siakam. Man, it's just been a really fun playoffs, a lot of really tough physical games, crazy endings in the fourth quarter. I think it's just been a really great couple of weeks for the NBA all around.
Yeah, you know, I wish you could always just fast forward to the first round into these, because this is when the matchups really start to get exciting, at least in my opinion. You know, obviously the 5-4, the 6-3, there's something there, but once you get to the 4-1, you know, that's where the kind of noise really starts, and we've seen it, right? The first three series started with the lower seeded team stealing home court. The Warriors still have a chance to do that tonight when they face off with the Timberwolves. I am curious, you know, of the three teams of the Celtics, the Cavs, and the Thunder that lost game one at home, which one would you say, you know, if you had to pick one that should be the most on upset alert, which one would it be and why?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to kind of contradict myself when I say this because I am that one of the big believers in OKC and their ability to not just win the West but to win it all this year. But I think you have to put them high on the list just because, you know, they're a young team that hasn't done it, right? And until you kind of get those battle scars, until you go through these games and complete those fourth quarters and get those wins, it's still very tough to look past like a Boston Celtics that just won the championship last year. We know what those guys are capable of. We've seen them have, you know, tough losses at home in the playoffs and bounce back. And I think this is going to be a big opportunity for OKC to show that they can really do it and kind of deal with that and execute. And I think the big thing for them moving forward is just getting other guys outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think Jalen Williams had a really tough game. Obviously, Chet Holmgren missed the two free throws at the end. But I think for that young squad, they got to get some of those other guys involved. They got to have really big nights and not lean as much on SGA.
You know, it's a great point, Will. And Jeff and I were talking about this last hour, that this OKC team has just kind of rolled through the season. I mean, you go 68-14. If you include the sweep against Memphis, it's now 72-14. And they've finally gotten punched in the face by this Denver team. And Nikola Jokic, who just, I don't know how you feel about the MVP race. I just continue to get proven right that he's the best player in basketball, the best player in the world. He's unbelievable every single night. And it feels like it's going to be interesting to see how this OKC team responds to adversity, because they really haven't faced it at all this year. They've just kind of rolled throughout the season and just destroyed Memphis in the first round of the postseason. And now Denver comes away in a huge comeback in game one and really steals game one from them.
Right, and I think a big thing you saw in the first game is just going to be execution late in fourth quarters, right? Because we know Jokic is just the best in the league. Late in games, he's able to get whatever shot he wants all the time. He can get rebounds. He makes free throws. He hit a huge three late in that game, in game one. So we know what he can do late in games. But, will OKC be able to consistently get shots if it's not Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? How many of those other guys are going to be able to step up and help? It's going to be a huge storyline. I think also they just had a couple tactical errors, I thought, in that first game. I thought it was confusing kind of having Chet Holmgren on Nikola Jokic the whole time. He was just getting bodied down there in the paint. I think there are a couple things they can switch up just to give Jokic some different looks, make it a little more difficult on him. But, I mean, like you said, he's the best in the world. He's going to find a way to make it work. It's just about OKC kind of overpowering them with the numbers because that's what they've done all season.
You know, Will, I'm curious on your take on Donovan Mitchell, a guy who's obviously playing right now. It's halftime. They're up by 11. You know, to me, he's always kind of reminded me of Dwayne Wade, with the major exception being, you know, Dwayne Wade early in his career had that run with Shaq, won a championship, and kind of got that monkey off his back early. And so no one really talked about, like, does he have enough to win? Whereas Donovan Mitchell, I think he's been in the playoffs every year of his career. He's always been kind of this elite playoff scorer. He's never been to a conference finals. And, you know, I watch this guy and it's like he's got all the tools. He's got all the athleticism. He can play deep. He can play both ways. But, you know, he just can't seem to get over the hump. And it's what I would have said about the Celtics duo a couple years back before, you know, they obviously went to the finals with Ime Udoka. They got over the hump last year and won a title. Like, where do you land on Donovan Mitchell? Where would you put him among, like, the premium NBA scorers, winners, as it relates to just playoff success?
Well, I think you're 100% right. I think he's one of the most interesting characters in this playoffs, because I think naturally a lot of our attention goes to the younger guys, like Anthony Edwards or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, or the older guys like LeBron or Steph Curry. And you know, we kind of just assume that, you know, Donovan Mitchell is going to be the guy who has the great regular season and goes out in the second round. But you know, this year I had him fifth on my All-NBA ballot. I had him also fifth on the MVP ballot. I thought he was outstanding this year, not because, like you said, we've seen him have those huge 40, 50-point games. But I think the real change, what you saw in Cleveland this year, was the way they played as a unit. They played together this season. I think he did such a great job building up those guys around him, and you saw Evan Mobley had the best year of his career. Darius Garland had the best year of his career, and I think a big part of that was Donovan Mitchell and kind of what he did quietly night to night, you know, lifting that team up. And I think that's going to be the big thing for Cleveland now, you know, as the biggest threat in the East to Boston. Can Donovan, you know, do that, but also be the great scorer that we've seen him be in the past? That's going to be, you know, a really big story in the East, just because it feels like Boston's so inevitable, right? Especially when those guys are healthy. But Cleveland, it just feels like they're quietly just chugging along, assuming they get this win tonight. If they can get those guys healthy and ready for that Eastern Conference Finals, I think that's going to be a great series.
Well, what's your concern level for the Celtics? I know that Jeff is a big Celtics fan, so I wanted to throw this at you because, you know, they're up by 20 last night, and then Jalen Brunson, and the shots just aren't going down. The second half, you know, Jalen Brunson and the Knicks go on this crazy run. They very easily could have won it in regulation. Brunson's just floater was a little bit too much under it. But then you go into overtime and they make all the biggest plays down the stretch. And so the Knicks steal game one from TD Garden. Once again, it could have even been one in regulation before even getting to overtime. At the same time, it feels like the Celtics team is not going to miss 45 threes in a single game for the rest of the series, maybe the rest of the postseason in general. I just want to get your thoughts on it, because I saw this, you know, stat as well, that defending champions have not had recent success in getting out of the second round of the playoffs within the last half decade. But this Celtics team just feels a little bit different.
I know, that's the funny thing. Like I said, with Boston, they often feel so inevitable, but also you watch them, and it's just like they're kind of playing with their food. They know they're great. They're just going to make it happen eventually. They're kind of yawning their way through the playoffs. And you know, with a team like New York, man, they're hungry. They're going to try to figure out a way to get these games. But for me, with the story with Boston is always just, are they healthy? You know, is Drew Holiday out there? Is Porzingis out there? You know, are they able to put their best five out there? If they could put their best five out there, I think they're better than everybody. They've shown it. They've been through the playoffs. But, you know, with Porzingis, it's unpredictable. And you know, with Drew Holiday, he's dealt with some stuff the past couple weeks. And now Jaylen Brown's fighting through the knee. So I think, you know, we already see Cleveland, you know, dealing with some injuries now, unfortunately, on the other side of the bracket. But for me, it's always, if Boston's healthy, I can't see anybody beating them. But if not, it's going to be tough.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, well, I can't let you off the hook without at least one Pelicans question. You know, we went through the season. We took the medicine of the 21-win season. Well, we get the prize. We get the carrot next week in the draft lottery. The Pelicans had the fourth worst record, so I think they have a 12-something-odd% chance of 12.5% chance of landing the number one pick. And so my question is a little more nuanced than what would you do with the number one pick. My question is, if you're the Pelicans, and you obviously have Joe Dumars leading the ship now. Looks like a lot of the staff is going to stay in place. There have been some changes, but if you did land the number one pick, does that significantly change how you approach this offseason in terms of maybe some trades you would make, how you would structure your roster, knowing that, got to be Cooper Flagg, I imagine. I don't see how that's going to change. Compared to if you stuck at four, Would those two plans for the offseason in your eyes be very, very different?
I think if you land one, you certainly have to take it more seriously the possibility of trading Zion Williamson, for sure, just because obviously those guys play the same position. But I think, just Cooper Flagg, the whole feeling of him coming to New Orleans will allow you to just have that fresh start. It'll kind of be similar to like when Zion came in, right? And that was as Anthony Davis was on his way out of the building. It just felt like an opportunity to just start anew, right, and just leave all of the past behind you. I'm always consistent in this, that I'm always bet with the talent. I would love to see Cooper Flagg and Zion play together. I think that would be pretty fun. But I think, yeah, of course you got to at least consider it more if you land at one with Cooper Flagg. But I think at four, you definitely would just feel more comfortable keeping Zion if you're just not worried as much about the off-court stuff. If they land number one, the talk that entire night is like, where is Zion Williamson going next, right? What's the next step for Zion? And I think if you're the Pelicans, you definitely got to consider it, just because I think Cooper Flagg is that special of a prospect, and he can be a guy that's the face of your franchise.
Yeah, well, he's the gold chipper of this draft. And so I want to actually get your thoughts, because it's basically a coin flip if the Pelicans are going to land in the top four. I think it's like a 48.1% chance when you combine all the numbers that they'll get a top four pick. And then the lowest they can fall is eight, but getting the eighth pick is so minuscule. It's like a 2% chance that they fall that far. So first and foremost, I want to get your thoughts, because Flagg is the top prospect in this class, and he's the unanimous number one guy. The number two guy, I think, has also kind of become a tier of his own in Rutgers' Dylan Harper, the point guard prospect. I want to get your thoughts on him before I ask you about, some of the prospects a little bit further down the board.
Yeah, I agree exactly how you put it. I think Cooper Flagg's in the tier by himself up top, and then I got Dylan Harper right below that, in the tier by himself. He's just a big point guard. I kind of think of, I always compared him like a lefty Cade Cunningham or a bigger Jalen Brunson, that type of point guard, a guy who can make a whole lot of plays out of pick and roll, can pass, makes big shots at the end of the games. I love Dylan Harper's game. I think he would be an amazing guy to put with the Pelicans, especially considering the DeJounte Murray injury, questions at point guard. If you land that guy, that just answers so many questions for you moving forward.
And then, as I mentioned, Will, it's kind of a coin flip if you get that top four pick. But if they do fall out of the top four and get, say, pick five, I know their highest percent chance technically by the odds is pick six, which is like 25% chance to get the sixth overall selection. Who are some of those prospects? Because, after Harper, it's like B.J. Edgecombe from Baylor and Ace Bailey are kind of in that next tier. And then it gets a little bit more kind of questionable from five to, let's say eight. So I want to get your thoughts on some of those other prospects if the Pelicans don't get lucky and land a top four pick.
yeah, in my mind, I think Edgecombe is for sure number four. You know, I've talked to some people who consider him number three right now on that board. But I think if you go beyond the top four, if you know me, this hurts my soul to say this because I'm a North Carolina fan, but I think Con Kanepo, I think the wing or guard, however you want to call him, from Duke, just brings so much as a shooter, a guy who can make plays off the dribble. I think he's just a rock-solid guy you could take at five and just know what you're getting from him. And I'm also a big fan of Trey Johnson, the young guard out of Texas, average 20 a game, just a real gunner, can get you, you know, 20, 30 on any given night with the way he shoots the ball. I really like those two guys at five. But I think that the great thing about this draft is there are a lot of options between five and 10. There are a lot of good players, you know, throughout that top 10. So you got to feel pretty good as long as you stick somewhere in that 4, 5, 6 range.
All right. Will Guillory, NBA and Pelicans writer for The Athletic. Appreciate you taking the time, and make sure to enjoy these playoff games.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Will.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.